Welcome to the Superpower Success Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Tates, and we are excited to be back this week with another great topic. So I have the honor of having Erica Relke here with me today. And in full transparency, Erica is the head of our coaching practice here at Keystone. But her and I were having a really robust dialogue last week about this concept, and we thought, this is really something that our podcast listeners want to hear. This is something we should hear because I think it's something we all deal with in varying degrees, and we all have people on our teams that deal with this same thing. So we thought this would be a really fun podcast for the two of us to get together and talk about. And the concept is all around, can you be too much of a team player? And what we're really looking at, and as I thought about this and Erica posed this question to me, I realized that in certain points in my career, in certain points in my business ownership, I have been too much of a team player. And I think there is a point where you reach where it becomes a weakness, where you start to get burnt out and you resent, you know, all the help you're providing. And so we want to have a dialogue about this and really help you understand what it looks like when that's happening and how, what are some things that you can do to kind of fix that. So Erica, welcome. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I want you to start just so everybody has a little bit of background on your experience and what you've done in the past and why you're so smart on topics like this.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I was a recruiter for 11 years. So ins and outs of the HR, working with hiring managers, working with candidates, you know, to get into these different positions. It really taught me and kind of widened my range of working with people, right? And understanding what were hiring managers looking for? Were they looking for that team player? Were they not looking, you know, someone that can stand on their own? So it was interesting to, that's kind of where my career started, transitioned over to working with Keystone Group International, doing some behind the scenes, but also really enjoying and connecting with a lot of individuals on career development and career coaching. So
that's awesome. So when we talk about kind of being a team player, what does that mean? How do you define that?
Well, the technical definition, a person who plays or works well as a member of a team or group. Well, when you think about that, who doesn't want that to be a part of their organization, yeah, right? Or be who they are, right? Everyone says, I'm a team player. I'm in it. You know, I'm here to help. And I don't think any manager or owner is going to say, oh, no, I don't want that, right? No. Logically.
Or anybody wants to admit they're not. We all are. We all want to be part of a team.
Absolutely. And you have to be, right? I say to make the world go round, to make the business work, you do have to be a team player. On the flip side of that, what we're seeing is more and more individuals on that burnout, and I put that in quotes, right? Mm-hmm. That burnout of, I've been so much of a team player and giving in, it goes along with your podcast from last week, no is a complete sentence, mm-hmm, being able to say no in certain situations can make you a bigger team player at moments as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was reflecting on this, and I think back to my career, is I think there's a lot of us who are the go-to people in our businesses where if something's happening, if something's not going right, or we just need an extra project, or hey, we need somebody for the engagement committee, right? Those are the people they're going to go to. It's always the same people, number one, because we always deliver, mm-hmm, and we never say no.
Exactly.
We're always going to be the people that say yes to that. And I was that person. And Erica knows I had a realization this week that I'm not even practicing as much of what I preach, is that I had another set issue where I didn't say no to something I should have said no to because, yes, I'm a team player, yes, because I just want to help. And how do we fix? I don't want to say fix it, because you don't have to fix it. It's not that it's something that's broken. It's something that's out of whack, I guess, that is how I would put it.
Yes. So looking at it from the standpoint of, it kind of goes back into when you started your business. What did you start it for? What was that passion, right, maybe? And what were the things that you were amazing at? Same goes if you're working within your career, is what are those things that your bosses asked you to be responsible for, right? And saying yes every single time something correlates to that. If something steps outside of that, it's not about you saying no, but no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. But identifying how that's going to help you and the company, and there might be other people in the company that are just as qualified as you to complete that or be part of that engagement committee, right?
Yes.
That that maybe people don't even realize because they just go to you every time. But there could be someone else out there that's even better at it.
That wants it. Yeah, it's a good point. And the other thing, you know, again, that correlates back to the last podcast is if we say yes and we're too much of a team player to everybody all the time, mm-hmm. we're actually letting people down. Because, and I feel that as well, as I'm diluting my impact and diluting my efforts so that everyone's just getting a little bit of piece of it instead of they're getting the full, you know, impact and they're getting my full time yes. and attention that it needs. And so that's the risk of being too much of a team player, is you can actually be seen as you don't deliver, or you don't give the, you know, you don't really commit. You give the, you don't give the time needed to be able to complete that.
Yep, absolutely. And you look at it in terms of if there's someone that gets all the little things, right? There's just someone in your office, everything gets thrown on their desk. No one really realizes, because multiple people are giving them little things, all of a sudden it becomes this huge job in and of itself outside of their normal day-to-day job. And I think that that's something to be said too, is as you go through, and I don't want to call it a generational thing because I don't think it's specifically a generational thing, but being able to say no and being able to explain yourself. And I think even in my career, right, there's moments where you just take it on because you think it'll help you get to that next level, right? And so I think being able to flip that and say, by me not taking this on, people will still respect me and in terms of how I deliver the explanation, but I can still get ahead in my career, being very specific in terms of what I do.
Yeah, it's all about kind of how you talk about it and how you explain it. And again, it goes back to another discussion. These are all kind of weaved together, is that work-life balance, or which I hate the word balance, choice, is we may make the choice at certain times to take on something more because it's the right thing, but we're making that conscious choice.
Yes.
And even making that choice, we can set the appropriate expectations. So if I'm going to take on that extra committee, I can say, I can do that, but I'm probably not going to be able to give it my all, but I would love to be involved in some way, but I just want you to know it's not going to be my best work because I've got all of the rest of this on my plate, but I absolutely can help, right? And it kind of puts a disclaimer on your yes.
Yes.
So you're setting appropriate expectations.
Absolutely. I was talking with someone the other day, you know, again, it doesn't go into the generational, but back when my mother, who started a business, you know, went in at 7 a.m. and came home at 6 p.m., not exactly on the dot every night, but when she came home, there was no phone, right? No email checking, none of that.
She didn't sit
happening
with a laptop on her lap for 4 hours like I did last night in the living room. What?
No. Which is also just, again, it's not a generational thing. It's just who we've come to be as a society, which is okay. But again, learning how to set those boundaries within that to be a team player, but also set those correct expectations with your manager or leader.
Yeah.
So. And one thing that I wanted to say, I found this stat in the Wall Street Journal article. They talk about changing just a few behaviors can give you back 18 to 24% of your time that they spend collaborating with people. So in today, they talk about, or in this article, they talk about how people are getting pulled into more and more meetings and being involved in, like you said, more and more maybe groups within the organization, right? Like, hey, be part of the engagement committee. And all of a sudden, your day is filled with meetings and you don't get anything done, right? Because you're pulled into these meetings. And so they're saying, take control of that and do collaborate, but you don't have to be in every single meeting to collaborate, right? And so gaining that time back, it can make you more productive and by 18 to 24%. I just found it interesting.
No, that's really interesting you talk about that, because I've definitely felt the meeting overload. I remember in corporate America, it got so bad in the company that they actually had like a whole, another initiative to limit meetings. Like they actually had a meeting and initiatives about how to fix their meeting issue, which is just ridiculous in so many ways. I could write a book. But what it is interesting to me about this concept is the management by committee, where we kind of feel like we have to involve everybody all the time and all the decisions, which is part of the issue that we're talking about, is same thing. I get invited to a meeting. Why do I need to be there? There's no agenda. It's a two-hour meeting. Nobody can tell me what we're going to talk about or what my purpose is in being there. That's also part of being a team player. Don't just show up. Like, you've got to be able to challenge that and say, What am I supposed to, am I making a decision here? Do you need my input? How should I come prepared?
Yep.
Because I think a lot of us set meetings to just talk about stuff.
Yep.
When what we drive with our business and our clients is to drive accountability so that everyone doesn't have to be in a meeting to make a decision. The people who are accountable for that part of the business need to talk about and bring it to everybody else as here's what we believe our decision is, so that we're not all sitting through 8 hours of meetings a day talking about stuff that isn't really our decision point anyway.
Yes, yes. I've actually seen this quite often in the recruiting world, right? You have a hiring manager, and then all of a sudden they start to get their people involved in the, and that's great because you have to have cohesiveness, you have to have peers getting along, but only to a certain extent, right? Like, they're there to do their job. And it's not that you want negativity around that role, but there's got to be someone at the end of the day, I kind of say, like, pulls the trigger, puts the hammer down, right? And says, this is your role, and this is what you do, and or
and you're empowered
this is our meeting.
To make this decision.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, the word trust pops into my head when we talk about that empowerment is we've got to be able to trust our colleagues, mm-hmm. our peers, and our boss, and our employees to just make some of those decisions within the guardrails, right,
yep.
that we've set.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm wondering if, as team players, people that are just naturally wired that way to say yes and want to participate, is there also a flip side where we actually create our own issue, where we get ourselves into situations and into meetings where, because we're worried about we're going to miss something or someone's going to make a decision without us, right? So we create our own madness.
Yes. And I think that's for sure. I mean, you hear that term of FOMO, right? Like it's such a new term, so to say, and I'm saying that in quotes. It's, but the fear of missing out. What am I missing
FYI,
out of?
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes.
If you don't have teenagers, just so you know, all those short, I had to learn all of these.
Yes, so I do think that there's that level of, think about it this way, you know, if I'm not in that meeting, right? Like you said, there's a 2-hour meeting, you don't know what the agenda is, right? You have the fear of, if I don't go, and I don't know what we're going to talk about, I could miss something, right?
Or they could make a decision that impacts me and
absolutely.
I didn't have my,
And so you see it that, and everyone wants to be an expert. So if I go to the meeting and I learn about it and I have an opinion, then I can become the expert on it and I can say that I was part of that. So I do think that there's that fear of missing out and everyone, and again, then you look back at management, does everyone need to be included in this? You know, decision. So it kind of goes back and forth. But yes, you definitely can get yourself in that cycle of spinning round and round, going to meetings.
I've had coaching clients that were managers in companies where they actually found their value in other people having to work, you know, involve them because of their expertise. And they didn't even realize they'd gotten in this cycle. They actually inserted themselves and made it worse on themselves because they wanted that was significant to them to be able to provide that expertise. And so we have to be careful that we're not creating our own issue in some of this, right? We blame the company, we blame meetings, but sometimes we're sticking our noses in places that we should just go back and do what we're doing, right? And we can't be, because it also breaks down trust. If I feel like you have to invite me to that meeting, and you're like, I don't know why you need to be in this meeting, but I'm worried about what's going to be talked about. That means I don't trust you.
Yep.
And so it's that balance, I think, that we need to find.
Yep.
And oh my gosh, I used the word balance. No. It's making good choices and balance about where we involve, where we use our time and where we allow people to take our time.
Yes. And I also, exactly. It's where you're going to take my time as an employee, as a business owner. Are you setting the stage properly with your employee or with your coaching clients, right? Do they know what they're getting from you? It goes the same way there too.
Absolutely.
As well.
So what is the cure? What advice would you give people that are like, yeah, I resonate with that, right? That's me. What kind of things can we do to, again, it's just not an overnight thing, but what can we start working on to help with this?
I think in yourself, you need to set your own boundaries. And you need to make sure that you communicate them with the people that you work with on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't an overnight thing, like you said. This is slowly over time. Like, I'm going to take back control of this piece. If someone invites me to a meeting, I'm not going to challenge them in a negative way, but I'm going to challenge them in a positive way and say, hey, help me understand why I need to be in that meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So doing it in a tactful way, just like your last week podcast on no is a complete sentence. It's kind of how you communicate it, right?
Correct.
I also think it's going back into the accountabilities of your role. What are your accountabilities? Because at the end of the day, a lot of times on performance reviews, those are what you're being, so to say, graded on, right? To get to the next step in your career. It comes back to those accountabilities. So look at those first and make sure that you're acknowledging those with your manager, with your boss, whoever that is, so that you're on the same page in terms of what you should and should not be participating in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if you're letting those slide, that's what you're actually being, that's your incentive is tied to that because you're signed up for 10 other things.
Yep.
No one else is pointing out the 10 other things if you don't,
yes.
Right? And that's a great, it's an easy way to go into the no if you're like, I can't get my normal job done.
Absolutely. And then, you know, again, it goes into stop volunteering for things on some level, not completely stop, but within the, right, the engagement group. If that's something you're passionate about and you can show that and you can show that you went outside of your accountabilities to do that and that you've made an impact on the business, you need to do that. And again, that's where team playing comes in to the factor. But at the same time, you also need to set, again, those guardrails, like you always talk about, set those guardrails and decide how many things you can be involved with.
And I think
with.
That's important because for those of us who are naturally wired like team players, everybody else knows it.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone asks for somebody to volunteer in the meeting, and everyone's quiet, team players have problem with the silence. We're like, oh, no one else is going to do it. All right, fine. All right, I'll do it.
Yep.
Right? But everyone's actually just assuming you're going to do it.
Yep.
So if you stay quiet just like the rest of them,
yep.
It allows someone else to have to say, all right, I'll step into this. Maybe that they actually need it. They need the development. They need that opportunity. They need to step out of their day to day. And so I should do a whole podcast on the value of silence. Because I have a real tough time with it. There are certain people where silence means we're processing and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain people who are very uncomfortable and feel like they have to talk to fill the silence.
Yep.
I have a podcast, so I'll let you guess which person I am. I feel like I have to talk to fill the silence. Right?
Yep.
It's like if it's silent, what's wrong?
Yep.
And that's not always the case. And so I think as team players, we can also just sit on our hands when someone asks about that stuff and see if someone else steps up. And not that we won't help, but maybe we just don't need to be fully engaged or lead that effort or whatever that is.
It always brings me back to when you're in college doing a group project and you have the one individual.
I was always that person.
So now you just know who Jamie is. Yeah. She just proved it to you. She was the
Everyone
one
Everyone wanted
all.
To be on my team because they're like, she'll get it done.
Yes.
She'll help us. She'll organize it. She'll schedule the meeting.
Yep.
I was that person.
Absolutely. It's like you give everyone a task and someone does half their task and then you're the person that's like, well, that task has to get done. So I'll do the second half of that task and then I'll do my task. And then
I call that being an enabler. All right. I enable other people
there's
to not do what they need
you.
To do. Yeah. How to not be an enabler. But I think this was a great topic and I'm glad that you brought it up because I think it's something, I don't care if you're a business owner, if you are in high school, in college, or you're in your career and you're trying to grow at a top level executive, is we all deal with this in some form or fashion. And for those of you listening who don't feel like you deal with this, you're the person who's really good at staying quiet, but recognize you have employees that do, that are the ones that you have to help coach. You have peers who are burnt out because they are like this. So whether or not you're like this, you know somebody who is.
Absolutely.
And it's really important for you to give them an out sometimes and not abuse the fact that they're a team player because you definitely can get to that burnout point. So Erica, thank you for being on here and for sharing these thoughts and ideas. And
absolutely.
And just a reminder to the Superpower Success community about our business and leadership coaching. So Erica runs that practice for us. And we have some amazing offerings. You know, as I always say, we meet you where you're at. So we've got 3-session, 6-session, 12-session programs that are very customized to what you need, whether you're looking to get to that next level in your career, you're a solopreneur trying to get your business off the ground. We've got a wide variety of expertise in our coaches from a lot of different industries and experience and backgrounds that can help you with that. So you know how to get a hold of us, keystonegroupintl.com, or email us at at info@keystonegroupintl.com, or you can connect with myself, Jamie Tates, or Erica Relke on LinkedIn or Facebook, and we can get you more information. So as always, I am grateful for you being on here, for listening and engaging. We love the feedback that we're getting. Make sure you're subscribing and you're leaving reviews so we know what kind of topics are really resonating with you so we can bring more of that content to you. And remember that this whole podcast is meant to be an energy, you know, shot for you day to day to help you really think about your success, what that next level looks like, and how to get unstuck and get that thing that's really kind of holding you back. Get that information and be able to kind of move to that next level. But we want you to do it within your superpowers, right? Within your strengths and not worry about what someone else's are. So that's our whole premise for this community. We hope you're getting a lot from it, and we appreciate and love doing this week in and week out. So see you next time, everybody. Thanks.